The MyFood podcast is part of SHAPE, which stands for the Support Harmonized Advances for Better Patient Experience initiative that is funded by an unrestricted grant from Servier. A very warm welcome to the MyFood podcast, Eating Well with Gastrointestinal Cancers. MyFood is part of the SHAPE program, which is an initiative to help improve the lives of people living with gastrointestinal cancer and their caregivers. My name is Moira Gitcham, and I'll be joined today by three guests. Lucy Eldridge, an oncology, nutrition and diet specialist who's based in the UK. Pat Sakowska, who lives with pancreatic cancer and is based in Poland. And last, but by no means least, Professor Thomas Grunberger, a surgical oncologist from Austria. In this podcast, we're going to start off by talking about the most common nutritional challenges experienced by people living with gastrointestinal cancer. Then we'll discuss the most common symptoms and side effects and which types of food are best to eat or are best avoiding and how food and eating can help you improve your quality of life. First, let's look at diet. We all know that good nutrition is important for health. However, maintaining a healthy diet is often challenging for many people living with gastrointestinal cancers. There are many different challenges a person may face, depending on what part of the gastrointestinal tract is affected or what treatment is being taken. Professor Grunberger, in general, how common is poor nutrition in people with cancer? And what are the main eating challenges faced by people with gastrointestinal cancers?
A study that was published in 2017 found out in nearly 2,000 patients, 51% of them had some nutritional impairment when they first saw their medical oncologist. So nutrition and appetite can be affected by several things. For example, symptoms from the cancer itself, where it is and how advanced it is diagnosed. Secondly, treatments like chemotherapy, radiotherapy, or immunotherapy that can affect the way the food tastes and the appetite level. And then thirdly, surgery. It's depending on where the surgery is, and it can affect eating habits dramatically. And procedures such as having a stoma insertion.
Turning to you, Lucy, why is diet important when living with a gastrointestinal cancer? And what type of foods can make up a healthy and balanced diet?
Thank you, Moira. Well, following a healthy, balanced diet is not only important for maintaining overall good health, but it can also help you feel physically and emotionally stronger. So there are key recommendations that we would recommend to individuals to eat at least five portions of a variety of fruit and vegetables every day. So to eat a rainbow effectively, to eat some beans, pulses, fish, eggs, meat. These are all rich sources of protein and should be included through the day. Choose unsaturated oils and spreads and eat these in small amounts. And ensure that you drink plenty of fluids, at least 6 to 8 glasses per day. Ideally, red meat and processed meats should be minimal within the diet, and to limit or to avoid alcohol. And then with regards to fried and sugary foods, these should be kept within a minimum. I just wanted to add a note to say that there isn't any evidence to support the term superfoods. And really, the best approach is to have as balanced a diet as you possibly can.
Thanks, Lucy, for those great tips. Pat, I want to turn to you now. Based on your personal experience of living with pancreatic cancer, what were the main challenges that you faced in terms of diet?
Thank you, Moira. The hardest thing, and it was and still is, not to think about it as a like some kind of a diet or restrictions that I have, but to treat it more like another way of nutrition and another way of life for me. I was recommended to cut out sugar, actually, which was super hard for me and still is because I have a sweet tooth. And reduce some fried food and fat, and also reduce everything that is hard to digest, and also reduce some spicy food, and in order not to irritate my pancreas. And I love Italian cuisine, so believe me, life is really hard with that pizza, cheese, and glass of wine. But in the meantime, I've grown a love to steamed vegetables and some dairy alternatives like plant milks, some healthier substitutes for cakes, low sugar. And I enjoy fish now, which I didn't used to at all. And I've also grown some love to eggs, and I wasn't a huge fan of it before.
Great. That shows how you can learn to love other things. Thanks for that, Pat. In this next section, we'll look at how diet and eating well can help manage side effects. Eating the right kinds of food before, during, and after treatment can help you feel better and stronger. However, it may be necessary to adapt what you eat depending on the stage of your individual gastrointestinal cancer journey. Again, starting with you, Professor Grünberger, how do you advise your patients to adapt their diets before and after surgery or other procedures?
Now, there is not a one-size-fits-all rule when we come to nutritional recommendation prior to surgery. The most important thing is for patients to have an open discussion with their healthcare professional team so they can decide together what will work best for them. Recommendations for before surgery would be high protein, energy-rich whole grains supplement drinks. Recommendation for after surgery would be small portions, eat slowly, chew food well, lots of water. Recommendations for patients that have a stomach reaction, low fiber diet, chew food well, fresh fruits and vegetables, small meals, and lots of water.
Lucy, any additional thoughts or recommendations from your perspective?
Certainly, if someone has a small appetite, then it's making that every mouthful count. So keeping foods as nutritious as possible and aiming to eat as broad a range of foods.
Pat, I think you covered a lot of this in your previous response, but from your own experience, what were the ways in which you adapted your diet in relation to your cancer treatment?
So I think the most important point here is to actually talk to healthcare professionals. It's really important to ask a lot of questions. For example, when I was about to be released from hospital after surgery, and I knew there was a dietitian coming for some consultation, I actually wrote down all questions and doubts that I have. And we together went through all of those. Also, I was advised by my doctor to watch myself very carefully and how my organs react to different type of food. How do I feel after, if I feel bad or if I feel okay? At the beginning, I was also advised to actually write down what meals I was eating and how I felt afterwards, so I could actually exclude some meals that wasn't very good for me. And also, I would recommend, for example, is surgery coming? It's good also to ask a doctor before surgery what would be good to eat afterwards. So in this way, patient would be well prepared to surgery and to recovering.
And Lucy, coming back to you, what effects can chemotherapy, radiotherapy and immunotherapy have on a patient's appetite and level of nutrition?
Ideally, the aim would be to choose calorie-rich foods, but not junk foods. So going for sort of avocados and oils and nut butters as a way to increase the energy levels in the foods that you're choosing. Again, choosing protein-rich foods are really key to help with the sort of healing process and the recovery from treatment. And having that sort of balanced diet, that broad range, so ensuring that where possible you're including fruits and vegetables in a sort of format that's appropriate to the treatment that you've had. You may have mouth sores. There might be certain foods you wish to avoid as they might exacerbate symptoms. You know, if your mouth is sore, then soft, moist foods can be really helpful. They slip down easily. If you're nauseated, then pepper and ginger can help with this. Or experimenting with flavours if you've got taste changes. So there's sort of there's lots of different things you can do, but it will be very much dependent on where you're at that time.
Pat, again, from the perspective of a patient, do you have anything to add to what Thomas and Lucy have said? Anything to tell us in terms of what diet changes for you worked well and possibly what didn't work well that you tried out?
So for me, smaller portions worked well, and a lot of water. And also, as Lucy said, some calorie-rich food to have more energy, and also more liquid food like soups that were easier to digest for me. Also vegetables and fruits processed by myself, boiled, for example, or steamed. It was much easier for me also to digest. And I was when I was feeling full and heavy, a glass of boiled and a little cold water helped me a lot. It made me feel more relaxed and helped me also with digestion. I was recommended to eat more meat, but it couldn't be fried because of some digestion problems. So I've tried to steam it a little bit, but no, hard, no, absolutely not. And also some fresh squeezed juice from vegetables and fruits made me feel very bad, actually. So I need to cut it out as well. So a lot of water and small portions were the best advices I get.
Great. It's really good to hear that boiled water can work wonders. Thank you, Pat.
It was just something that I just tried in order not to take any pills and some painkillers, and it just made wonders. So now I spread the news everywhere, and actually it helped few people I know.
Great. The cheapest diet advice ever.
Yes, thank you for that, Pat.
The last section of our podcast is going to look at eating well to improve quality of life and eating in a social context. A good diet can potentially improve not only your outcomes, but can also improve well-being and quality of life. Professor Grunberger, can you tell us what effects can poor nutrition or malnutrition have on people with cancer?
Yeah, malnourishment is something which is affecting every treatment. So for me as a surgeon, if a patient comes malnourished to have his first visit and discussion of his surgery, that's simply, I have to tell him he has to get better nourished before we will be able to do any surgery, because we know malnourishment and surgery does not fit together. The patient will have symptoms, will have complications, and it will take forever until he can get back to chemotherapy. Similarly, it will affect chemotherapy, so the tolerance of chemotherapy, simply as radiotherapy. So all parts of cancer treatment are severely affecting.
And is there any evidence out there to show that social interaction it is important in terms of outcomes in people living with cancer?
It's extremely important. And how well patients do after chemotherapy has been shown to be connected to their social interaction with other patients during treatment, with friends. And patients were more likely to survive for 5 years and more after chemotherapy if they interact with other patients who also survived 5 years and more.
As a surgical and oncologist, Professor Grunbergen, what else can you tell us that could help patients facing surgery and who are perhaps afraid around certain issues around their diet?
Well, that's a quite great question. And I would like to highlight that we are nowadays, compared to 10 or 20 years ago, doing something called fast-track surgery or enhanced recovery after surgery, meaning that patients, even after major surgery, these patients are allowed to eat until they go to surgery, and they have to start eating again on the first postoperative day. We have our dietitians that work with the patients from the first postoperative day onwards, and they have a clear menu that they follow every day until they come back to normal food within a week.
Lucy, back to you. What can people do, in your opinion, to enhance their social lives and still get enjoyment from food?
I think for some it can be quite daunting. So it's important to sort of plan ahead and to think it through before you sort of enter a new premises, for example. So check restaurant menus ahead of time. Don't be afraid to make special requests. Restaurants are used to that in this day and age. For some, locating the bathrooms as soon as you arrive in case you need them can again just reassure you during that time. Try to only eat in places that have a high hygiene standard. You can normally find this online for a lot of restaurants. So again, it's just that preparation before you go. Choose foods that look good, that smell good. That can really help. It really helps to enhance your appetite and your enjoyment of the food. Again, foods that have been marinated or come with sauces. So for meats and fish, if you've got some taste changes, these can make them more pleasurable. And again, don't be afraid to add extra seasoning at the table to, again, make those foods have a bolder flavour.
Thank you, Lucy. And Pat, what about you? Have you got any tips or advice that you'd like to share with other patients with regards to eating out or eating with friends and family to still make that an enjoyable experience?
My first advice, if I have ever talked to any patient, check menu if there is anything suitable for you. Don't be afraid to suggest a place that you like and that you think are safe for you. And also don't be afraid to ask for some changes in meals. I've done this myself like 100 times. And every time in the restaurant, there was no problem with adjusting food for me. And also I find it extremely hard to say no if there is any food being served or something like that in restaurant or at my friends or family, especially because I don't want anyone to feel bad or feel sorry. But I am still working on it. My health is more important here. So, you know, eating should give joy. So we can always ask our friends or family if they can modify menu a little bit or while accepting invitation, just give them a heads up what we don't eat. And we don't need to really explain ourselves. We just can ask them. And we can always prepare something ourselves and take with us so everyone could try and see that, okay, we have some restrictions, but we still eat delicious things.
All excellent points. And I guess from that, the take-home message is that at times patients need to be a little bit more assertive and say what's best for them based on their experience. Thank you for that, Pat. And that brings us to the end of this My Food podcast. And I want to say a very big thank you to our three guests, Thomas, Lucy and Pat. But above all, a very big thank you for listening in. And we hope that you found it useful. If you want to get more information, please visit the Digestive Cancers Europe website. And here you'll find the My Food brochure, which is a booklet with lots of tips and advice and recipes, as well as other educational information that will help you. So from all of us, goodbye and eat well.